Dalad Nissen, Friday the 4th of April, Dr. Sholem Springer, The True Origin of the Geula.
Thank you. Good morning to you all. I'd like to start with the Posuk, and I'd like to actually say that a lot of what I'm going to say in the first part of this year is based on shiurim that I heard from Rav Yisrael Dov Schlesinger Shlita of Monsey, who gives the most wonderful shiurim, and we are going to partake of a little of them. Mizmoya Kuf Lamed Gimel, She'amar Lois LeDovid, Hinei Ma Toivu Ma Noyim Sheves Achim Gam Yochad. That's what the Pasuk says, and that's a very well-known Pasuk. And then it goes on in the second Pasuk to say, Kashemen Atoiv Al Haroish Yored Al Hazokon, like the shemen that flows down, and this refers, Mefarshim tell us, to the Shemen HaMishcha that Moshe poured on Aaron at the time that Aaron was inaugurated into the Kuhuna Gedola. But it says, Yored Al HaZokon, Zakan Aaron. So there is a juxtaposition of Zokon and Zakan. Two beards here. And two beards, Chazal tell us, are intermingling. That's Aaron's beard and Moshe's beard. And this oil is flowing down and mingling with these two beards. On the first pasuk, Rashi says, Hinim atoivim anoyim shevasachim gam yochad, kashiyoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu bebeis HaBechira, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is resident in the Beis HaMikdosh, im Yisroel hakruim achim, Klal Yisroel who are called achim, brothers, vereim, and friends, v'yir gam hu yachad imohim. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is together with them, together with Klal Yisroel, and he becomes part of the group. And you need both parts. This is the pshat in Rashi. You need both parts. You need ma'toiv and ma'noyim. And you also need the gam yochad. And when brothers are gam yochad, then you have the true expression of the togetherness of brothers. So the anointing oil that Moshe poured on Aaron, that is the oil that flows down both his clothes, kvi midoiso, as the pasuk says, and mingles with the beard, two brothers really together. So the Balaturim mentions the following, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has got 70 names. But similarly, Klal Yisrael also has 70 names, and he actually enumerates them. He enumerates them according to the Aleph base. Yeah, the Aleph base. And the first one, obviously, is Aleph. And he says, Achim. Klal Yisrael are called the Balaturim. Balaturim. He has got 70 names. Rabbeinu Shalom's got 70 names. And Klal Yisrael also have 70 names. Yes. And the Balaturim lists the names. Right? Balaturim lists the names. And the first one, Alpi Aleph Beis. And the first one is Aleph, corresponding to Achim. So Klal Yisrael's name, the personification of Klal Yisrael, is Achim. That's who we are. So he bases it on a man, Achai Veroi, Adabin Osholomboch. So it's something that really we are, and that explains us, and that expresses what Klal Yisrael are. So the Rambam also says something else. Kol Yisrael ka'achim, shenema bonim atim la'ashem elekechem, that you are bonim, we're all the sons of one father, and therefore we are all brothers. So being sons of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, bonim atim, makes us into brothers. Achim, very important point. The Torah says that Klal Yisrael are Bnei Bechori Yisrael. The Rabbeinu Shalom describes us as the Bechor of the nations, the Bechor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Mala of a Bechor, the Mala of a Bechor is that, of course, he's first. But the Bechor isn't like in all the other children. Because the family of children, now the child is born, it's very nice. And the parents are already parents. But what a Bechor does is different from all the other children, in that the Bechor makes parents, make two people into parents. So something very, very special. So similarly, if Rabbeinu Shalom describes Klal Yisrael as Bnei Bechori Yisrael, that means we do something kaviyochel, so to speak, Yeah, we do something for the Rabbeinu Shloilam in making the Rabbeinu Shloilam the father of all nations. If we are the Bechor, then we've done something for the Rabbeinu Shloilam, and we are the Bechor of the Rabbeinu Shloilam, and therefore we occupy that position. Let's look into the pasuk where we started, which was Hinim Atovim Anoyim Shevas Achim Gam Yachad. So if we have a look at that, we see the following. That when the Rabbeinu Shloilam was Megala himself to Moshe Rabbeinu at the snare, we all know the story. It's a story of the Kuach at first, where the Rabbeinu Shloilam introduces himself, and the Psukim tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu resisted being the Goel Yisrael, didn't want to go. And Vayomer Moshe El Hashem, this is in Dalet, right at the beginning of the story, I have never been a speaker. Yesterday, day before, I've never been that way. I have pashtus, that I have a speech impediment. Maral tells us no such thing. Of course, he wasn't talking about anything physical at all. It means here that Moshe Rabbeinu could not connect with a person so full of tumah like Paroi. That's what it means. I can't do this. There's no way I can relate to Paroi in any sort of way, and I cannot communicate with him. So persuading Moshe Rabbeinu, and we'll see the Rashi in a moment. And to all that, Moshe Rabbeinu says, send who you want to send. Rashi says the following: Biad tishlach, biad mi she'ata rogil lishloach. To the person who you usually send, the person who's resident, for who Aaron, and that's Aaron. Aaron is the resident godel in Mitzrayim. He deals with everything, and therefore send Aaron as you have done until now. Vayichaaf Hashem b'Moshe. This is when God gets angry. We may use that word. Vayichaaf Hashem b'Moshe. Now we're going to change positions. And Taka, after all this time, now after all this vikuach, because Rashi tells us, Gam mit moel shil shoin, lo madnu, shekol shiva yomim hoyu HaKadosh Baruch Hu mefate. He's trying to persuade, trying to convince Moshe Rabbeinu, besnei leilich bishlichusai. 7 days of discussion between Kaviyoch and Rabbeinu Shloilom and Moshe Rabbeinu, and at the end of it, Moshe Rabbeinu still doesn't seem to want to give in, and the Rabbeinu Shloilom has to get angry, and says to Moshe that now there's going to be a change of place, there's going to be an alteration here, and Aaron Achicha HaLevi, Aaron the Levi, is going to be Yodati Kudabiyadabehu, he can speak, Vagame Hinehu Yotze Lekosecha, and also I know that he is going to come out to meet you, Varoacha V'somach B'Liboy. And he's going to be happy at the sight of you, and he's going to be delighted, Varoach of Asomach Beliboy. He is really going to delight in the fact that you are coming. So, Rashi says, in places, and the other Bevorshim say, that the word Hineni, and this is a word that occurs quite a few times in the Torah, of Rom Avinu says Hineni, and Moshe Rabbeinu at the snare also says Hineni. What does Hineni mean? Hineni always means, I am ready and prepared to do anything you tell me to do. I'm completely prepared. That's what Hineni means. Well, there seems to be a little bit of a contradiction here. Moshe Rabbeinu says Hineni, and as soon as Rabbeinu Shlom asks him the first shlichus, no, I can't do that. Not that one, okay? I can't do that, says Moshe Rabbeinu. So that seems to conflict a little bit with Hineni. So, the Rashi that we've just learned tells us the following. That although all the arguments that are brought in Chumash that we've just read, yeah, I'm not a good speaker, I've never been a speaker, and all, that's what the Chumash tells us. And obviously those are what the arguments that Moshe Rabbeinu used. But Lemaisa, the underlying argument is what Rashi told us. That I do not want to interfere with Aaron's supremacy in Mitzrayim. He's the leader, he's the Novi, he does everything there. And Moshe Rabbeinu's resistance is only because of the covered of Aaron. So Chazal say the following. The Rabbonon Omar, the Rabbonon say, Sova ato shloi rotzo leilich. So do you really think that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go? After all, we got Hineni. So it can't be that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go because he didn't want to carry out that shlichus. That doesn't come into question. When the Rabbeinu Shlom told him I wanted to go, he would have gone with alacrity. But the thing is that here we have something going on in the background which prevents Moshe Rabbeinu from carrying out the shlichus of the Rabbeinu Shlom until the Rabbeinu Shlom gets angry and tells Moshe Rabbeinu, basically, you must go. So Chazal say, they put it like this, you think for a moment that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go, we've got the Hineni, so it can't be. Enochein. Ela, kemechabed la'aron. It's the covered that he wanted to give to Aaron. Omar, he said the following, ad shaloya madati, until I came into sort of presence here, hoyo Aaron misnabe lehem b'mitzrayim shmoinim shona. Aaron has been doing the job for 80 years, approximately 80 years, possibly 60 years, 80 years, a lot of years, because Moshe Rabbeinu had to leave in a hurry, under a cloud, so to speak, and then comes back later on when he's 80. And so who's been doing the job until now? It's Aaron. Aaron's been there, he's been the Novi, the Nossi, the Godel, he's been doing everything. Omar Moshe, achshav, ikonos b'tchumoy. And now you want me to encroach in his tchum. So I'm going to supply the competition. He meets her, I'm going to be a shtech to him. All of a sudden I turn up. And Aaron was the big man, and all of a sudden I turn up. So Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to do that. Shlo rotzo leilech. And so Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go. And at that point, vayicha af. And that's why the Rabbeinu Shalom gets angry with him. And therefore, everything changes in the way that the Pasuk explains. So, Rabbeinu Chasman explains, what does Sheves Achim really mean? What does it actually mean? The point is that it's not as if Moshe Rabbeinu could send Aaron a postcard or a telegram or had some sort of shaychus during all the 60 years, email, yeah, all the 60 years. We're talking about two people separated by time and also geography as well, separated over a long distance, over a long time, no shaychus at all. So you might think, you know, the achvus between them, okay, I'm sure they recognize each other as brothers and remembered each other as brothers, but however, you know, there can't be any real shaykhs between them if they're separated by such a long time and such a great distance. Nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu, even after all these years, feels very strongly for Aaron. Moshe is prepared to delay the Geula. After all this argument that went on for 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu has effectively delayed the Geula by 7 days. So you might think, well, 7 days, yeah. You know, when the time comes for Geula and it's an emergency situation, you want to act as fast as you can. So Moshe Rabbeinu is here arguing with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and he's delaying the Geula by 7 days. And the answer is, says Rabbeinu Chasman, if it means giving somebody tzar, then segonish ve'et the ganze Geula. The Geula then becomes worthless if it's done on the back of being Matzah somebody else. The Geula has got to be perfect. The Geula has got to be together with everything. You could argue the Rabbeinu Shalom tells you to go, you just go. No, Moshe Rabbeinu thinks about what the Rabbeinu Shalom has said, and that means and that implies that he's going to injure Aaron in some way, and that becomes a factor. Not only a factor, but a dominating factor, such that he delays the Geula and doesn't even want to go. So, Benodam Chaveroi is at the end of the day paramount. And can't just be written over or just forgotten. The Vilna Gaon says the following. Let's go back. There is a principle that the Vilna Gaon says many, many times. For example, the Milchama between the four kings and the five kings. You want to know what a war is? Go to the first occurrence in the Torah. The first occurrence rule. The Vilna Gaon applies this in many, many cases. So you want to know the blueprint of a war is the four kings and the five kings. But many, many times he applies this idea. You want to know a fundamental principle of something, then have a look at its first occurrence, and you'll find information there that defines, personifies that which you are looking into. Now, Aaron actually is mentioned in the Torah 301 times. The Sforim tell us why 300. The one of 301, is that here he is mentioned a little bit differently. Because the posuk that we quoted before, Aaron wasn't a Kohen. Aaron was a Levi. Okay, so we got 300 times when the Torah mentions Aaron and he's Aaron HaKohen, and one mention when he's actually a Levi. First occurrence. So if you're looking at the first occurrence, actually, Aaron's not Kohen Gadol, not even a Kohen. The first occurrence in the Torah is when he is a Levi. That's the pasuk we quoted. That Aaron HaLevi. Now, he says the following. You know, names, we know the names and the origins of names of some people. For example, we know Moshe, Kimon Amayim, Mishisihu. So we know why he's got the name Moshe. Miriam, because of the Mar of the Shibud. That's why that word was integrated into a name. But Aaron, the only reference to Aaron is this pasuk that we quoted in Yudalid, which was that Aaron is a Levi of Yecha, Hashem b'Moshe b'Yom Haloi. Aaron achicha Levi, Yodati ki dabe yedabehu, v'gam hinehu yotze likrosecha, v'roacha v'somach b'livai. That's what we know about Aaron. And so we have a definition both of Aaron and the fact his status, which is a Levi. And then that's when Rashi says, loikeshata sovu, not as you think that he is going to object in any way. On the contrary, Aaron is going to be delighted the fact that you've come, and we see that Aaron, in fact, is overjoyed by the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is not only joining him, but taking over from him. Let's see how far this somach at Moshe's arrival and Moshe's leadership goes. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aaron Achicha, Einem Meitza B'Dova Hazer. Baisham says to allay Moshe Rabbeinu's fears that Aaron is not in any way irritated or annoyed or set aside, doesn't feel any meitza at all, b'dabaze. Ela yismach shu yotze likrosecha. He's very overjoyed by the fact that he's coming out to meet you. Loi b'piv, ela b'liboy. That's why the pasuk says, b'liboy. Loi b'piv, not just with his mouth. Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's so nice to see you. You'll come along and you'll take over the leadership. That is something that we sometimes say, b'fiv. You know, you've got a business and somebody opens a business nearby and you go round and you encourage him, yes, lovely, I'll help you, etc. And you say all those things, b'fiv. But deep down, you're kochin, deep down, you're very resentful. Sometimes on the surface we say one thing and in fact, deep down, it's another. The Benjamin is made. That Aaron wasn't like that at all. He's going to welcome you with open arms and he means it. Yeah, umkadalibur, that means that he's going to be, his feelings for you are going to be absolutely genuine and all the way through. So what the Medrash means when it says, what we just quoted, that not just befiv el beliboy, but beliboy more than befiv, that he can't even find words to express his joy because in his heart he feels welling over with joy and that's absolutely genuine. There's a memra of Rab Miloy in the Gemara, which says that the zchus that Aaron gained from this attitude is he is zocher lechoshen amishpot al liboy. Again, al liboy, choshen amishpot al liboy. That's Rashi tells us that in part of that Rashi that I read before. The Ben Hayyadol says something nice. He says the word lev, if you write out the letters of lev, the letter of lamed is lamed mem dalet. The letter of base is base yud tof, yet written out as a word. And so therefore the soft hey voice, the mem dalad of lamad and the yud tof of base together make the word tomid. And that's the point, that tomid, the simcha was tomid. You know, it's not a case that Aaron was going to meet Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert and bring him in and then Aaron says, goodbye, I'm going now, it's over to you. No, every day. Every day he's going to meet Moshe Rabbeinu and every day there was a potential that he might feel very resentful about it. But on the contrary, every single day that Moshe Rabbeinu was there, it's Tomid. And that's why the Choshen state that the Choshen is on the heart of the Kohen Gadol, Tomid. Yeah, that's also a word that's used there as well. Alev Tomid. The Maral says that when a person suffers Kino, Kino is brought about by Chisorin. Something that I'm missing. Because I'm missing something, therefore I want what Yen has got. Yeah, that's the origin of Kino. All Kino is due to Chisorin. So when we look at something somebody else has and I want it, but if on the other hand a person is someach b'chelkoi, if a person is really satisfied with his lot, then kina, there's no room, there's no house room for kina at all. There's no room for kina because I'm someach b'chelkoi. And Rav Elia Lapyang used to say on the pasuk v'dorsha Hashem lo yachsur cheltoi, v'dorsha Hashem, those who look for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo yachsur cheltoi, doesn't say you will have everything. Lo yachsuru. You'll just not be missing anything. You won't have no chesoron in you. If you've got this middah of Sameach Bechelkai, then Darsha Hashem lo yasur chol toiv, you'll never miss anything. Maybe you won't have anything, but if it's melcha b'chelka, with what you have got, then there'll be no problem. There's no kina, and you won't lack for anything. So kina is due to chisorim. When Moshe Rabbeinu got this job, ro v'somach b'liboy, Aaron was delighted. And the expression that's used, that the choshin is an ornament for Aaron. And the Maral says you can only add an ornament to something which is perfect. Something which is chorim, broken down, you wouldn't add an ornament to it. You add an ornament when something's perfect. Therefore, the ornament of the choshin for Aaron is very, very fitting for Aaron. So we have got the message that Aaron was ro v'somach b'liboy. And this is a very important part of our whole story because it happens at the beginning of the Geula. This is the first item, the first element of the Geula that's happening. And the Pasuk tells us, where did they meet? They met, Vayifkasheyu, Bahar Hashem. That's where they met, Bahar Hashem. So Bahar Hashem, Dafka, at Har Sinai, where the Torah is going to be given, Moshe attains his greatest greatness at Har Sinai. That's the place where Aaron shows what respect he has for him, and that there's no competition, and they're actually as one, Shevas Achim Gam Yachad, and there's no resentment, neither deep down nor deeper down, no resentment at all. But the point is, Reb Chaim Shmulevitch says, if we take all this together, what we have is the idea that when Klal Yisrael, with Mekabel the Torah, says Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. Where is the groundwork done for Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad? Here, in what we're talking about. When Moshe meets Aaron, that is something that has not been among Klal Yisrael. They are sowing the seeds of Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, which of course ended up in the glorious event of Matan Torah. Now others, next week, a little bit far from Pesach for me to have talked about completely the Haggadah, but I would like to bring in one element. So this now is the Hachona for Klal Yisrael, Hachona for Ish Echad, V'Lev Echad. Chazal work out the following. You've all heard this vort, that right from Briyas Ha'olam onwards, all the brothers, the important brothers, they quarreled with each other. Started with Kain and Hevel, with tragic results. Yitzchak and Yishmael, Yaakov and Esav, Yosef and the Shvatim. Here we have the first instance of two brothers working together, and therefore that's why it is the seed of the Geula. That is why the origin of the Geula. I want to connect it with something that I heard in one of Rav Isaac Bernstein's Zatzal's Shiurim. He always, I can't say it like he says it, I'll try to do the best job that I can. And it ties in, I think, very, very beautifully with what we've been talking about. You know, we have the mitzvah of karpas. Say the night, karpas. And karpas occurs very, very early on. You kadesh or chatz, karpas. First thing we do is karpas. It's very strange that we should be doing this mitzvah, which is one of the most misunderstood or non-understood mitzvahs that we've got. Lots and lots of pshatim, and he says, I've heard the most impossible pshatim about karpas. But what he wants to tell you is something that is definitive. This is the definitive pshat about karpas. The Gemara in Psochim, Tomid Nishchat, says the following. Describing the way Klal Yisrael used to go to the Beis HaMikdosh and then take home their korbanos, something Samach Dalad on the base, somewhere around there. Kol echad ve'echad nosen kischoi ve'oiroi. Every person took their Pesach and they skinned the animal, and they placed the carcass of the animal in the skin, and then they slung it over their shoulders, and that's how they walked home. Then there's a mandomer that says, Omer of Ilish, Tayois. He says, Tayois. What does Tayois mean? So Rashi, Derech Soichin Yishmaelim Hu. They're doing what the Soichin Yishmaelim, they used to do, apparently they do that. They skin the animal, they put the animal in the skin, and then throw it over the shoulder, and that's how they walk around. Picks up the kasha. Okay, so it's Tayus. So it's like the Arab workers or whatever. Do we have to know this? Why is it important for us to know this? But the point is that Rav Shlomo Kluger gives an explanation to this. And the Shlomo Kluger is printed in the Rav Yaakov Emden Siddur under the name Urias Shlomo. It's a Pirush and Haggadah, which you can find there in the Rav Yaakov Emden Siddur. And he explains the following. This is the pshat. Firstly, just to remark, where have we seen these words, Derech Soichin Yishmaelim, before? And the answer is by Yosef. Okay, so we're going to actually plant, actually create a connection between those two. And he says the following. We are about to go home with Korban Pesach, and we're going to sit at a table as a family, and we're going to compare notes about what we've learned about the Haggadah, and we're going to tell marvelous stories about what a rotter Paro is, what a marvelous person Moshe Rabbeinu is, and how our Kodesh Baruch Hu saved us. We're going to say these glorious stories. Okay, and we're going to talk about Vaitseisi, Vaalti, Vatsalti, Lokachti. We're going to talk about all those experiences. We're going to spend the evening on doing that. But maybe there's a bit missing. So we're in Mitzrayim, and we were redeemed from Mitzrayim. But how did we get to Mitzrayim in the first place? There's an essential element to our story that's missing. And this is the element that's missing that we ought to recall. The fact is, we got there in the first place because of the sichsuch, because of the friction between the brothers and Yosef. That's how we got there. And of course, the brothers sold Yosef l'soich Yishma'ilim. And so we have that connection. That's the story of Tayois. You're going to enact the soich in Yishma'ilim. And therefore, here is Karpas coming. We haven't got to Karpas quite yet. But what we got here is the connection between the fact that part of the Seder is actually celebrating the fact that we corrected ourselves from that friction that the brothers had. You know, in the Churban Bayis Sheni, we have that the Churban took place because of Sinas Chinam, we're told, and therefore perhaps we need something post Churban Bayis, suggests Rabbi Bernstein. We need something post Churban Bayis Sheni to remind us of the fact that we need to work on our Sinas Chinam. And he suggests that, quoting Rabbeinu Manoach, that this is the role of the Karpas. The Karpas reminds us the fact that the way it started was when the brothers dipped this coat, the Ksoinis Pasim, into the blood and then went to Yaakov and fooled Yaakov. And Yaakov was an Ovel for all those years. And the whole origins of our Golas is the fact that there was this friction between the brothers. And Rashi tells us that the word Karpas on Platz, yeah, there in Vayeshev, Rashi says that Ksoinis Pasim, Pasim is a lotion of wool. In the Megillah, for example. So it's wool. So it's a reference to the wool, wooden coat, being dipped in the blood. You seem to be... Oh, tenuous. It's, you know, wordplay is often, you know, perfectly allowed. It's Rashi. Rashi says, Karpas, it's wool. And so we have got the connection between the Karpas and the Ksoinis Pasim and the dipping of the blood. And we dip the Karpas into the salt water. Yeah, we symbolize that. So it's right at the beginning. So before we talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, before we talk about the glorious stories, let's remember their origins, which is the fact that it all started at the Maaseh of Yosef, and therefore it's at the beginning of the Seder. Right at the beginning, before we started anything else at all. So, dip it into blood, yeah. I think he actually suggests the following. We have very, very good point. John may just finish with this, may perhaps finish on a lighter note, on a nicer note, but this is a serious note. He suggests the following. You know, the Maharal asks the question, why are the blood libels, why were they, you know, blood libels seem completely illogical. The blood in the Goyim say, we use blood when we're not allowed to use blood. Yeah, everyone knows that a Yid is not allowed to use blood. And yet we have these blood libels all the time. And it's just the following, that maybe, you know, the blood libel is an origin, yeah, the origin because the brothers dipped this sinus into blood, that's never been lost from our history, never been lost from the consciousness of the Goyim, and that's why Pesach. That's why the blood libels always reach their crescendo at Pesach time. Because, you know, the connection is quite clear. So we don't use blood. So our salt water actually is a symbol of that.
So the Shulchan Aruch says you should dip the Karpas in Chometz. Mishnah Berurah brings down Oybe Mei Melach, Oybe Yayin.
Right, so you've got salt of blood.
If you could dip it in Yayin Odom, that would be a Zecher to the blood.
Very good. So it all comes together. So when we concentrate on Shevas Yachid, Achim Dam Yachad, and the togetherness of Klal Yisrael, we correct those original Averis, and hopefully that will bring a new Beis HaMikdash, Bimheira, B'Yomeinu, Amen.